love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today's program, we've got ourselves another little Patreon requested episode here, as I see it. It's Ninja 3, The Domination. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies.
What is so funny?
Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you are new to this program, if you are just discovering us because of some piece of media you read or somebody on Twitter told you to check it out.
Search in iTunes for Ninja.
which is core cool, domination.
Yeah, oh yeah. Just
dude. I need another domination podcast machine. I'm into that.
Well, that's not what this is. This
yes,
is a movie.
Is.
This is a movie comedy podcast. Where one of us is being hung from the ceiling by his nipples while we record.
Isn't that what happened in Wizard of Oz? Wasn't there something about in the background some guy was hanging by his nipples?
No, a little person ended his
cell.
Life.
You're thinking of the cell.
Oh, that's right. You are thinking of the cell. Vincent D'Onofrio. No, but you're also
thinking of a
little person supposedly ended his life in the background.
Right.
But that's fake.
I'm just imagining some guy like after a hurricane and like he's got like basically it's just a chair and a computer and he's just searching Ninja. You know what I mean? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Why not?
What else are you going to do post hurricane, man? No, so it's a comedy show where we take a bad movie and kind of pick it apart and, you know, sort of spread out from there. So this week we are talking Ninja 3: The Domination from 1984, directed by Sam Furstenberg. Now, this was requested on a Patreon. Patron select episode. It's a tier that we have since and almost immediately discontinued. But Chris Cabin, who was the lucky fellow who got this or lady? I don't know who requested this one.
This is from Brandon.
Brandon, thank you very much for being so supportive of We Hate Movies, Brandon.
This is your episode, Brandon. Congratulations.
Yeah. I did it all for you, Brandon.
And we obviously this is sent directly to Brandon's iPhone or Zune or whatever the fuck. And if you are listening to it, you are not supposed to be listening to it.
Yeah,
is just it for brand.
Internet also, contraband.
That quote from Andrew doing it all for you. You are not the son of the devil.
No, you are not, Brandon. I'm sorry. But I am
Antichrist.
A nun who is about to hang herself.
By the nipples?
Yeah, you better believe it.
But that is a smart habit you got on right there.
So, around the horn, who has seen this movie before?
I almost raised my hand, but this is a podcast, so yes, no, I have seen this before.
I have seen this before.
I never have.
Really?
This is never one for me.
This is, it's a canon picture, and if you're unfamiliar with canon, watch the movie, what is it, Electric Boogaloo? The documentary that chronicles these insane film producers.
I was about to say we have to mention it was the documentary, because that's also a film, right? Didn't this guy direct...
Did Sam Furstenberg direct Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Or just Breakin'? Maybe.
I think maybe, possibly both.
The woman from this movie is in the second Breakin', which is indeed Electric Boogaloo.
This guy's got quite a filmography, though. We should bring it up because there's a ton of beautiful little gems in there.
And by beautiful little gems, you mean shitty movies that
Canon Pictures
put out over the
right,
years.
Honestly, this is probably the best movie we've ever done. This is up there with Citizen Kane. This is a total recommend, so pause this and go watch
it. So this gentleman has done something called One More Chance from 1983. Revenge of the Ninja, also in 1983. This guy was a busy man. Ninja 3, The Domination, which we're talking about, which is 1984. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There we go.
Also
in
1984. Jesus. American Ninja, 1985. Avenging Force, 1986. American Ninja 2, The Confrontation, 87. Riverbend, 89. Delta Force 3, The Killing Game, 91. Cyborg Cop, American Samurai, Cyborg Cop 2. Operation Delta Force. I mean, like, this goes on and on. Handled, and Quicksand.
Eric's favorite movie. It's a different one. That's, but because he handles a lot of Dudikoff.
Yes, that's the Quicksand with Michael Dudikoff, not the Michael Caine and Michael Keaton movie that I've seen.
Which is far more bizarre.
Oh, I watched that movie.
Yeah.
I
like the idea that Dudikoff is like, all right, I'll do your movie. But Sam Furstenberg has to direct.
I only work with Sam Furstenberg.
Have you seen this movie? I would tell him to direct anything. This guy is fucking crazy.
Like, this is if you had to say it, like, if you're trying to explain to someone, like, exemplify canon films, this is the movie to do it. Just be like, just put this on, and you will understand the fucking mentality, the work ethic, the style, the budgetary restraints.
That's a big one. And also, The Last American Virgin is also, I think, right up there with
it. Oh, that's a great movie.
That one is ludicrous.
These movies, these guys were two, like, Israeli brothers, or were they just businessmen?
Joanne and Globus?
Yeah, I don't know buddies. If they were related. Yeah.
No, they were cousins.
Were they cousins? I mean,
were these dudes kissing cousins?
No. But I guarantee you they got laid over the years.
Oh. Identical cousins on cocaine, because that's what's going on here.
That is the secret, not so secret ingredient to these movies, is piles of cocaine. So this movie, in short, is about a ninja who is murdered, and his soul or consciousness or whatever you want to say possesses an aerobics instructor / telephone repair woman, and she starts fucking a cop who's trying to get to the bottom of something.
I will say that was the one thing I appreciated about this movie, because usually you have, like, ridiculous apartments. You're like, oh, how is this person paying for that?
Right.
Someone has two full-time jobs.
That's exactly right.
Of course she does.
This is real as it gets. This is as real as it gets
right
here.
But she also has a lot of downtime. It's kind of surprising.
Well, I think she's more successful in the aerobics business.
Sure. Oh.
And the telephone game is just a hobby.
Well, oh, it's a passion project?
You'd think it would be the other way around.
Well, you'd think that.
But also, as we see, the aerobics game is a life and death game, apparently.
That's true.
In this world.
So we start off with, you know it's a sign of trouble when you see a limousine in the desert.
Is Logan coming?
I was like, oh, fuck, something's going down. This limo was in the desert. And then somehow it magically cuts to a golf course. There's people playing golf, also maybe the mafia and this lone ninja on a golf
course.
There's
a mention of, once all these people are slaughtered, that one of them was a scientist.
Oh, he's a very important scientist, as he's described. Now, the one thing I must say, this opens with probably, if this actually happened, it would be...
It did.
Top five American tragedy, right?
Yeah.
Like in the top five.
This is a Ninja 11.
People would be wearing ribbons in the street for the rest of the movie.
Well, this one man, this ninja, I mean, he slaughters, like, I guess this scientist, a couple of, like, B-polo-shirted douchebag businessmen, and then, like, 25 police officers.
At least 25 police officers.
It's a fucking five-star rampage.
But here's the thing. It's almost too strange to be tragic. Like, if you were to be told, fucking 20 people just died, oh, my God. By samurai sword.
I mean, it's amazing.
Like, it's ridiculous.
I don't know this dude's motivation, and spoiler alert, we never find out why he killed that scientist.
Well, you just open, it's all quiet. He goes into some, like, where Jesus came out of that cave.
Yeah, I think it was the same cave.
Yeah.
The Lazarus cave, or whatever they call it.
Nazareth cave.
And he's got, like, a hollow rock set up with, like, I guess it's magic, but it looks like shitty carpentry, this extra light coming out of the rock.
Well, see, that was the problem with Jesus. You know, he was the son of a carpenter, but he could never live up to dad's standards.
And he was building sets for canon.
Yes.
He came back already. You missed him, but he was building sets for canon.
So, yeah, he goes into this cave, and it's like, yeah, there's like a false wall, and it's like there's a magic sword in there. Or maybe it's just a sword. I don't know.
Oh, it's magic. It's floating and shit later.
And oh, right.
And like, we're watching cutaway scenes from L.A. Law, like all this, like, putting and, like...
These guys don't know what's coming.
Why is this magic ancient Japanese sword in a cave in California?
Great question.
Why is this? That's the thing. Like, a ninja in California? That's a children's book, first of all. But why is this ninja
there
trolling
be,
California
there
golf courses?
Be like a flashback of, like, you know, I don't know, in the Gold Rush era, a samurai sort of like, what was that? Oh, my God. What is that movie?
The Gold Rush with Charles Chaplin?
No, with Charles Bronson. Red Dawn?
Breakheart Pass?
No, not Breakheart Pass.
Well, definitely not Red Dawn.
Yeah,
Red
first Dawn of all, wasn't Charles definitely Bronson.
Toshiro Mifune in a Western. Have you guys never seen this?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, and I forget the name.
I don't know.
It's Red something. I do remember this.
Red Heat? No, that's James Belushi and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So he gets all gussied up. He goes out. And he starts killing these guys. And this guy's got a team of security guards, one of which, by the way, when he tassels with this ninja, looks exactly like What's-His-Face from Happy Gilmore. That's Mr. Gilmore's jacket.
Oh, Jaws? Yeah. Richard Kiel?
He looks a lot like Richard Kiel, and he gets cut up pretty good.
Speaking of looking like people, the guy who I am guessing is the scientist, I don't really know. I think he's the one who's wearing the polo shirt and doing the golfing with the babe.
The sweater around the back.
Yeah. Doesn't he look like Jefferson from Married with Children?
Oh, Jefferson Darcy. Yeah, yeah. A little bit.
So I finally found what I was talking about. It's Red Sun and Sun Like in the Sky, a 1971 Western starring Charles Bronson and Toshiro Mifune. And it was a pretty good movie.
I never saw it. That sounds cool. Yeah. I like both of those actors.
In 1870, a gang robs a train and steals a ceremonial Japanese sword meant as a gift from Japan to the U.S. president, prompting a manhunt to retrieve it.
Oh, maybe they never found it. Maybe it was put inside of a hollow rock at the end of that movie.
Oh, shit. Is this a sequel?
I hope so.
But I would say if you were to add in that this sword has to get to Reagan, Domination, I'd be a much bigger booster of this.
Johnny, I was supposed to get a sword this week.
John Hinckley's A Sword for Reagan is a short story.
No, I mean God bless him. Not God bless him. But if Reagan was
Hinckley?
No,
we're all God's children, Steve.
If Reagan was assassinated by a ninja.
It would be the coolest presidential assassination of all time.
Yeah, top number one.
Ninja ran out of somewhere and fucking gutted that dude. Holy shit.
Booth stock dropping. Just dropping down.
So, yeah, exactly. And Booth is your guy right now.
Right
He's
now,
your A-lister.
Yeah,
I mean, sure.
Booth had a catchphrase. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And it was in a theater. It was really, it was just fantastic.
And that's
fantastic.
The thing, totally. The problem is nobody really believes it was Oswald, so you can't give him that credit.
No. You don't want to be presumptuous about that.
No. So, yeah, if a ninja killed Reagan.
It wouldn't. Yeah, a magic sword kills Reagan when a magic bullet killed Kennedy. I like that.
Kevin Costner fucking using a fake wooden ninja sword on Newman in the middle of a courtroom. It hit here.
Gut and to the left. Oh, I'd love it.
But this ninja starts cutting up through like butter. And I've seen some ninja attacks in my life, you know. IRL.
Yeah. Whoa, in the Bronx? Where? Yes.
A ninja in the Bronx, also a children's movie.
Yes,
with a grisly ending in
Loretta Park and right off of Mars Park. There's a basketball game got broken up by a ninja.
As they're known to do up there.
Oh shit, bro. I saw a fucking ninja at Orchard Beach.
He was using his sword to pick all these condoms up off the sand.
Oh, man, do not go to Orchard Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Please worry about Orchard Beach.
Go to City Island, though. Get the fried seafood. My God.
Oh, at the lobster box?
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, this is the greatest thing about City Island. Which lobster box are we talking about? Ooh. It's the island is about a quarter mile long, and there's two lobster boxes, and I believe they're across the street from each other.
The pronunciation is lobster box.
Sorry. We go up at the end.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of this movie is this ninja assault, and it's amazing. This ninja brings down a helicopter with his bare hands.
This is the helicopter's fault. The helicopter's got a good angle on this ninja. Like, I got to get closer. Like, that's the advantage of a helicopter, distance.
But, like, you've always wanted to see just a ninja kill indiscriminately in a golf course.
Yes.
Like, just killing golfers. He grabs this fucking golf cart, and he holds it, and this dude's just, like, telling his lady, like, run, run.
Well, and she gets slaughtered.
She does run, and then she gets cut down, and then he gets cut down. It's a beautiful sight. And you're right, this police helicopter comes, and holy Toledo.
My favorite line in the whole movie is when the ninja attack first happens, one of the security guards grabs a walkie-talkie. He's like, "Rachel, it's Dan. Get the cops." We never see Rachel. I never see Dan again. He presumably dies.
But also, order me a Cobb salad. I'm going to be hungry when I get back from this thing. Got to go kill this ninja.
I'll meet you at the 19th hole. Arnold Palmer.
This is like Grand Theft Auto, because this ninja starts killing people and the stars increase.
Oh, okay, absolutely.
All right. You know, now they're feet cops. Car cops. Oh, no. Helicopter cops.
There should have been horse cops. Horse cops would have really done it.
Horse tanks.
Speaking of Toshiro Mifune, dude, fucking taking out horses with the swords. Look out, ninjas.
Mm. Look out, ninjas. I do appreciate that here's my question. Is he... Because, you know, we all identify ninjas as colors. That's how we're taught ninjas in first grade.
Steve, I don't see ninja color.
You mean like
ninja racist?
Yeah, I mean, I personally look more at the belt. White belt, black belt, right?
That's how you count ninjas in grade school. You have three black ninjas, one red ninja. But is he a green ninja, or is it just for this specific job? He's on a golf course. Oh, it makes sense to be wearing green.
It's like camouflage.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't want a black ninja. You don't want to be the black ninja on a golf course. Look like an idiot.
I just thought his uniform was dirty.
Okay.
It was a white ninja that was rolling around in the sand trap.
I also somehow think that a pure black suit would be somehow more expensive, and Cannon wasn't playing that game.
I see what's going on here.
Absolutely right, dude.
Those dyes were too expensive.
I got all these off-brand ninja costumes.
They're all in olive.
It is an olive ninja costume.
And guaranteed, olive anything is the cheapest of whatever that thing is.
How much is bright green?
Oh, you want an olive rifle? Yeah, it's $100 less. Olive. Ugh.
I like olive.
You ever see like an olive car? You're like, what the fuck is that person's problem?
I think it's pretty cool. You can hide in the trees.
So, yeah, he does take down a helicopter, which is he gets inside there.
There's all these handles on the bottom of the helicopter.
The helicopter.
Why would you have these?
Somebody's in on it because it lowers itself into a tree. Wait. And it's like, come on, ninja, get in.
I thought that's the thing. I hadn't remembered this movie. I maybe watched it like 2 years ago or something like that with plenty of glasses of water floating around.
There's no other way to watch. I watched this movie on a Tuesday night. I'm like, well, this is a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Dude, my house was dry. I was having a hard time.
Oh, man,
yeah,
it sucked. I was, this ninja's underwater at one point. Using his blowgun as like a breathing tube. That was me watching this last night.
Yeah, several pitchers of water.
But
no,
so I didn't, from the first time, I didn't remember like the start of the movie really. And I was like, oh fuck, this ninja booked like a helicopter escape. That's pretty cool. But then he starts. Listen, the throwing star shots in this movie are awesome because it's a lot of just like the actor playing the ninja throws it and then it's like cut. And it's the actor who's hit with it, like, just holding his face and holding onto the prop star, you know, with, like, the tiniest fake blood.
I will say, from the studio that brought me Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, kind of wanted a little bit more gore.
Yeah, you're
not
wrong.
If you're slaughtering a bunch of people on the fucking green, can go off.
There's only so much ketchup that can go around.
The Tribune had said that there was a shot, I think later in the movie, where somebody's head rolls downstairs or something like that, that got cut because they were fighting an X rating, so that might have been going on. We were a little afraid of ninjas back in the...
Oh, we were.
I don't know, Bar. I don't like these ninjas.
It was the whole terror with the Japanese, dude, because this was the same time this country and our entertainment industry was terrified of sushi.
Mommy, I've gotten 3 assassination attempts this week by ninjas. We need to edit these movies.
Mommy, I almost got assassinated by that spicy tuna roll. Tell the White House cook no more raw fish.
I guarantee you, Reagan has never eaten sushi in his life.
Just send it to Bush. He'll like it.
That's a perfect excuse for a white ninja. Is a white ninja in the White House? Ooh. That's a movie. That's a copyright hit movie.
Wait, no, that wasn't that one of those G.I. Joe movies.
Yeah,
wasn't that a Clash song?
Wait a
white
second, so
ninja in the White House.
Oh no, that was White Ninja in Hammerstein Plains.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Wait a second, though. So you guys are, I think you guys are talking about something that I don't quite understand. Do colors of ninja uniforms designate ninja ranks?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Somebody who's better with ninjas would have to tell me.
I think it's all fucking bullshit.
Oh, finally, a chance to compose a tweet to We Hate Movies. At WHM Podcast, I mean, actually, the color of ninja uniforms is as follows.
You actually do tweet that because I want to know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have no idea. I just assume it's bullshit because I feel like a ninja.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they're doing their own thing and they'll wear black or olive depending on the situation.
And, it's the art of invisibility, Eric.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are bad ninjas out there. Well, not anymore. I think ninjas like a dead thing.
Right? Oh, that's a fucking shame, man.
There's no more ninjas unless you're watching Daredevil.
First ninjas and then the coal miners.
It's ninja. Well, no, because they it's just a labeling difference. Now it's like martial arts expert and like
but
martial artist.
But being a martial artist doesn't because being a martial artist doesn't also then make you a ninja.
That's true.
I mean, you can
so nobody's taking the ninja path anymore.
That's a real fucking shame.
Well, it's like ninjutsu, and then you got to use your powers to like it's unsavory that you have to assassinate people. It's like a
think any of these things want you killing people.
No, I think ninjas are specifically for that, and that's why the samurai hated them so much. Like, oh, you ninjas, get out of here.
Oh, yo, you darn ninjas.
Oh, the ninjas just showed up to this sock hops. Let's get them, samurais.
That kind of happens in that, what was that, American Shaolin? Is that the movie we did?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember they go to that dance?
Yeah, oh, you ninjas, and stay out of Okasaka.
So the great thing about this helicopter is it goes over a hill and explodes because you know what? Helicopters are awfully expensive.
Oh, yeah. It just gently goes over this hill and then someone let off some dynamite.
But it's so cool that like he kills both of these people in the helicopter and they fall into this lake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
pretty
great.
Helicopter just drifts away, man.
And those are not dummies because indeed this helicopter is only about 10 feet off the water. So you're just throwing people into it. But again, to give this movie credit and the whole philosophy of this ridiculous company. It's a real fucking helicopter.
Sure.
That's real dynamite we have going off, and we are really throwing people into a lake.
I mean, why Canon has their reputation. They are the creme de la creme of trash.
See, that's the thing is, they were doing all these movies for like video and whatnot, and nowadays we just have all these shitty fucking CG effects for these type of movies.
Because we're straight to streaming, man.
I hate it, man. You know what? It's time to spend a little time in the woods and find yourselves bad movies.
Yeah, just rent a helicopter. Please, God.
Yes, practical effects. I know it's cheaper to do and easier to do CG blood and whatnot, but we can tell, man. We could tell.
Yeah, your movie looks like shit.
It's ruining the fun.
Yes, it is.
It totally is.
It is.
So basically, this ninja runs afoul of every other police officer.
They're all in a circle. They start just lighten this dude up.
Dude, it is the end of Bonnie and Clyde for this ninja. They are shooting the fuck out of this guy.
Now, here's my question, because he does crush a golf ball. Is he supernatural from the jump or not?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he's like a... Yeah, he must be. He's like a super ninja. Maybe he's like a ninja that's been alive since, you know, feudal Japan.
Like, is John Belushi? John Belushi ate a golf ball.
What, you're talking about his classic SNL bit.
Animal House, he ate a golf ball.
Oh, but he also played a samurai in SNL.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, of course he is.
In a bunch of sketches that don't hold up, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of that doesn't hold up, Eric. Don't
worry
about it.
Really? Oh, wait, you don't like the bumblebees going to camp?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You know, the thing that wouldn't leave is pretty funny still.
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
It's got its moments.
So is this like a basic, a fallen situation? Like every single time?
Yeah, he goes into a cat once in a while.
Yes. And here's the thing. That would be great.
Yes.
Some sort of supernatural ninja thing would be awesome.
John Goodman is a ninja singing Time Is On My Side.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, but the thing about it is, this movie is incompetently written, and nobody knows anything about this ninja.
Yeah,
nobody knows a goddamn thing about him.
But that would make sense that he was trading bodies, because later he does, when he gets finally stricken down by... After he kills, like, 1,000 police officers, he finally, like, dies, and transfers his soul into a woman. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, so let's get into it. They blow him away, and he uses a smoke bomb, and they think, like, he disappeared, but somehow he just shot under all this sand really fast.
He dug a hole awfully
he starts
quick.
Spinning. Yeah. He starts spinning around in a circle, and you're like, oh my god, what the fuck is this? It's been, like, 15 minutes, and there's been nothing but...
No dialogue. What's aside none, from yeah. Rachel, get the cops, it's me, Dan.
It's
that's
like,
it.
It's like There Will Be Blood, the first 15 minutes are like silence.
I think now is the perfect time for me to show you guys my Rachel Get the Cops, It's Me, Dan tattoo on my leg.
Rachel Get the Cops, It's Me, Dan.
It's who are you, Dan?
Daniel Plainview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he goes into a field, and we our heroine, what's her name in this movie?
Christy.
Christy is she's doing her day job, which is phone repair.
But this is what's amazing and kind of confusing, because Christy is wearing an olive telephone repair person outfit, and I thought it was the ninja in a disguise.
Oh, maybe it's foreshadowing.
Oh, she will be olive soon.
Yeah, she... becomes the ninja in this movie somehow.
Right. Well, it's like the Power Rangers. They walk around in the color that they eventually will become.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So she will be the Olive Ranger at some point.
At some point. The most boring of all the Rangers. The one who reads all the reports.
And I actually thought that this guy...
So there would be a Green Ranger and an Olive Ranger.
Who's just hanging out with Alpha 5 the whole time.
Aye, 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 aye. You didn't file this report correctly. Look at all this paperwork.
Well, Alpha. I mean, the HR isn't going to run itself here. I mean, there's a lot of, we got a lot of personnel.
Billy, yeah, Trini says you did sexually harass her on that last mission. So we're going to have a conference.
Yeah, we're going to have to call in the Beige Ranger to go over this with you.
No, he's accounting, you think?
Yes. So, Zordon, would I talk to you about getting some better coffee in the break room?
No, I don't drink caffeine. Ask the Puce Ranger.
Oh, he's commissary, clearly.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It's morphin' time. What would the dinosaurs be is the question. I mean, the lesser of the dinosaurs.
Like a fucking stegosaurus.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or like one of those like things between a fish and a beaver.
Like a platypus?
That's not
except
even
for a
fucking
robot.
Thing.
I don't know.
I mean, someone
you mistake in between the good animals.
Oh, you could tweet. We'll allow a tweet explaining what the hell Chris is talking about. If you have a picture of something that's between a fish and a beaver.
Well, let's see. What are the other boring dinosaurs in the Jurassic Park franchise? So, like the Gallimimus.
Oh, sure.
What are them? There little things that attack that girl in the second one.
Oh, that would be an olive. That'd be a good olive ranger.
Yeah,
for sure.
Just, they look like the Geico gecko.
Olive, the other ranger.
that's a shitty Christmas book.
It is. No, so I thought this was a sexual assault. I thought it was like a one for the road because he's like dying and he starts like grabbing at this woman. And I'm like, dude, what are we talking about here?
You know what? Not all grabbing is sexual in nature.
Sometimes it could be I'm trying to possess you.
I didn't know what this movie was about. And I was like, what is going on?
No,
right?
Life is not all about boners, Steve. Sometimes you just want to transfer your soul into a lady.
Sometimes you're just trying to spook.
hi, just thanks for coming in, Jason. It says you were trying to put your soul into Kimberly. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense here.
You screamed, "What's the point of living if you don't have a dick?"
No, that was actually, I was trying to transfer my soul and possess your body. I was not trying to do anything sexual. I just had to grab those orifices in order to transmit my essence. I know that sounds bad.
All right, Jason, we'll have to fire you. Here's $25 million.
Siri, call attorney. Call attorney.
So she spies this fella from up on the telephone pole, and she's like, oh, you know, do you need help or whatever? And he starts lunging at her.
I'm not helping a ninja. If I see a ninja drop down, I'm like, yep, that's your problem, buddy.
Wait, is that like a racial thing or something?
No, I don't know. They always have an extra sigh you don't know about, Eric. You don't know
masked men in general. Yeah. Like, I just don't think it's
good. Oh, I see. Okay, so if a firefighter's fallen over, coming outside of a house because he had this mask on and he falls over,
yes,
you'd
Eric.
Say, it's, oh, yeah, it's on him.
He would die.
Well,
the
if the firefighter's dressed up like a fucking ninja, then yeah, that dude's going to die.
Well, think about, you know, firefighters look scarier than ninjas in my book. They got these giant tanks on. They got these weird Darth Vader breathing masks, and they have axes.
Yeah, but they're going into burning things, so you don't see them for too long.
How convenient, they just happen to be there.
So he grabs her and says some spell, and
you can't hear it, by the way, because the ADR and the sound mix in this movie is awful.
She's kind of like the Green Lantern in this situation, right? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yes, that's a good point. She's a bit of that. She's the Olive Lantern.
Oh man, what's that person's name, Steve? What's what's the name of the Green Lantern like home world?
Oa.
So Oa's like administrative assistant.
Well, you've got Njort. He's a dog.
Njort.
What about the fish person?
Oh, that's Tomar Ray. He's kind of badass.
Oh, really?
What you're reading there?
Yeah, he's more of a fighter, I feel. not the dog.
We cut to a police station because this opening sequence finally ends. And Christy is being interviewed by this detective. The detective, this police.
Secor.
Is that how you say it? Because that's the fucking weird
laxative. Scientology.
It is. It's something like that.
Wait, weird Scientology?
The Scientology, like.
It's S-E-C-O-R-T. Naval division.
Yeah, he says his name is Billy Secor or Bobby Secor.
They have a naval division?
They do.
It's not like naval, but it's like. The C Corps, man, like, that's a thing. Like, when you're, like, high up in Scientology and you're part of, like, the C Corps.
So if I, like, enlist, I could be, like, sent see the world, maybe?
I think you might be able to see the world, dude.
I might sign up.
Dude, here's the thing. See the world 2 weekends a year.
Oh.
That's all it takes.
Nice.
Is it C Corps?
Yes. Well, C Corps is what you're... Well,
I know what I'm talking about, but how does this guy spell his name?
Yeah, S-E-C-O-R.
Secret. Oh,
T.
I see.
There's a T at the end.
Oh, is there really?
I think there's a hard T at the end.
A Bud Secort. A Billy? What's his name?
Billy, I think.
Billy Secort.
So this guy's like if Robert Davi said no to a movie ever. I guess he's a little more handsome than Robert Davi.
I don't know. He's handsome until he takes that shirt off. Then he looks like the fucking Wolverine.
I was going to say. They end up kind of starting the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Like her as the ghost and him as the wolfman.
Yeah, it's a definite wolfman situation.
Secord, by the way.
Secord.
Oh, Secord. Oh, yeah. That's a completely different thing.
This could use like an Alan Quartermain. You know, someone like a straight man. That's what this is really missing.
Yes.
I thought that was the guy who was playing billiards in his underwear at one point.
That cop that gets fucking murdered.
You know what's funny? I'm watching this old timer hitting around the pool balls in his undies, and I'm like, that's probably pretty relaxing.
Yeah, of course.
You're, like, you're going to bed. You're like you're right before bed. You had like a sip of whiskey, and you're just like, let me sink the 8 ball.
Yeah, here. Dude, just knock around a couple balls in your undies.
Seems fucking chill to do that in your underwear.
You're smoking a bunch of cigarettes for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that dude's at least up to 2 packs a day, and he's living just fine.
One rack, one pack.
That's exactly right, dude. And his Marlboro Miles, he's 2 packs away from getting a cool jacket,
and he's definitely. Tapping on that rug and just letting it go.
Oh, you better believe it, Chris Cabin.
Oh, you mean tapping on the rug.
What is that? His pubes?
No, ashen.
Oh,
you got ash on that rug because the wife's going to vacuum it up in the morning. That's this guy's life.
Ash on your pubes, man. Just do it.
Oh, God.
Any day of the week.
So this guy starts hitting her on her in a police station.
Almost immediately.
He offers her a soda. The best thing she says is, sorry, man, I don't do soft drinks.
Which I took to mean like she's a fucking ripping alcoholic.
Yes.
Really? I thought she was healthy.
No, she's supposed to be a health nut because remember, as her main career move, she is indeed an aerobics instructor.
If that's not being delivered by Captain Morgan, shove off.
God. She likes rum.
Yeah, dude. Hard booze or bust.
Well, my favorite thing is that so the lieutenant is interviewing her about this,
mm-hmm.
and it's this fucking like. Officer on the street comes up to the lieutenant and is like, hey, lieutenant, why don't you buzz off about that bullshit investigation and just let me hit on this woman?
By the way, 100 cops just died today. No, we're going to keep this woman here until we figured something out.
And why is it, like, that's the thing. Like, this is a fucking police officer massacre.
Uh-huh.
Why on earth do you just have C-Cord on the case?
It's awfully quiet in that office.
That's absolutely right.
There's no screaming.
No,
these alarms.
People would be freaking the fuck out. Like, the goddamn governor would be involved, man.
Yes, people absolutely. Are kicking back. They're not on the phone saying we have an emergency.
Listen, this shit happens. The president has to give a speech on TV. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to report that a ninja went batshit crazy today on a golf course.
What's that? The flag looks a little funny. Oh, no, it's a red, white, and blue ninja.
And his head gets cut off.
He survived 120 shots, but 300 did it.
Oh, no, a ninja's given me dementia.
Oh, no.
A ninja told me AIDS doesn't exist.
Oh my. So we cut to her awesome apartment.
Yes.
She's got a great video game called Bouncer, which I really wanted to play.
I think it's fake, though.
I read that it was real.
Is it real?
Is it?
But it, like, wasn't. Like they
failed horribly.
Yes, they couldn't get like distribution on it or something.
That's a goddamn tragedy.
They weren't able to make more of them.
That stinks. Wait, so does this movie feature like the sole bouncer console
ever? Might be, yeah. Right.
And it holds a soul ninja.
But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Do you think
bit.
Globus has it? It's just from one of his garages.
Yes.
One of them is dead, I
really?
Think. Yeah.
I think actually Victor Globus go the spoils.
Sorry. What did you say, Cam?
I think Globus is the one who's dead.
Is it? One of them has passed away since that documentary came out. I think he died like before it came out.
So yeah, I mean, she's just like, you know, we get to her apartment. She's like doing, she's dressed for aerobics, playing a video game. This guy calls her again. Like this guy, this C chord. I think he should be off the force. I'll be completely honest.
Oh, well, he's what you'd call quite unprofessional.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So cut to her aerobics class. We're in kind of a killer workout situation. It's kind of weird because we're all on carpet, which is
that's orange carpet. That's what made me think
also,
of killer workout.
The drapes, I thought we were like
Do they match the carpet, Chris?
It looked like they were doing aerobics in a JCPenney.
It did.
Yeah, no, it's disgusting.
Laura Perkins.
That was the style at the time. Unfortunately, everything you did involved carpet.
Hey, Ma, clean out all the tables in the dining room. We got to have a movie shoot in here. It's got to look like an aerobic studio.
Then the heavy weightlifting is going to be right next to it.
Usually there's a door between the heavy weightlifting and the aerobics.
Well, not when it's a fucking living room from the executive producer.
That's and apparently true. All the guys who were waking up put the mask on that day, and they're howling at these women.
Jesus, she teaches this class. The fucking cop is in the class, which is terrifying.
And it's supposed to be like kind of a meet cute. She's like, oh, what are you doing here? You followed me. That's adorable.
It's like, no, this dude like looked up your information on a police computer.
Exactly. That's not adorable at all.
You looked up the address of my workplace?
Oh, that's
and she very adamantly at this first interrogation or interview or what have you, she's very like, listen, I do not date cops. Mm. That's the end of it. And he's like, all right, cut to me at your job.
Like, guess what? You're dating a cop if you want it or not.
That's the challenge.
Coming.
Yeah, I have a gun and we're going on a date.
But so then she goes out to the parking lot and all of a sudden she's in like RoboCop Detroit because like all these hoodlums come out of nowhere.
Who are these people?
Well, they were the guys working out.
Who are these people?
Well, first of all, they're sexually assaulting another woman in the parking lot,
which is
she breaks it up.
I thought this woman was her roommate because she's at the apartment with her, but then she's never seen again in that domicile.
Yeah,
so
no,
I don't know what's going on there.
But she breaks it up. She's like, hey, you knuckleheads, leave that woman alone. They're like raping her in broad daylight in the middle of, and everyone else is coming out of this gym. Like, there's like,
everybody's watching.
There's 12 guys that just are standing around while this other woman is like, hey, leave that woman alone. And they start to fight her and try and rape her. And these guys are just like, hey, man, that's not cool.
It's like all these dudes standing around. They're waiting for fucking George McFly to show up. This movie's really saying something.
It is. And then she starts using magic karate. Thankfully, she was possessed by the soul of a ninja this morning or else she'd be dead. She'd be dead on the street.
Which also, so this is what's weird, though, is like this is kind of like, it's, I mean, I get like pseudo heroics because like she saves her friend, she defends herself and whatnot. But what the mixed message is here, and you don't get it, is that the ninja that possessed her is the bad guy of the movie.
Yes. Yes.
Which does not come across because you don't know why he was trying to murder the scientist. So I was like, wait a second. was that scientist like on the verge of curing cancer?
But man, don't they slam it over your head that what is going to happen is she's going to kill all the cops that killed him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there are 500,000 cutaways to slow motion, like,
oh, well, like because when every she time sees, when yeah. she first sees the cop that's the love interest, she gets a flashback to the cop killing her ninja soul.
Her ninja soul.
Yeah.
Original title of this movie, Ninja 3, Her Ninja Soul.
It's a better title, maybe. Yeah.
But the weird thing is, so she defeats this, all these dudes, and the other guy, the C-Cord, snatches her up, and he's like, hey, man, you're under arrest for assault. And she's like, I'm under arrest for assault. And he's like,
yep.
Get in my car. And then he starts like putting the moves on her. Yeah. This is a false arrest. This is going way too far.
Also, he's a cop and he didn't intervene. Yep, he's at all.
Nope,
he's
no,
trying
no.
to get laid here and he didn't even intervene.
You know what, Chris Cabin? Boners first.
So he's driving her around and she's just like, oh man, I hate cops. And he stops and he gets all indignant. He's like, oh, you hate cops? I'm sick of this shit. Get out of my car. And I'm like, you just did a false arrest.
Yeah, if you want to know why she's got beef with people in your profession, it's this kind of shit.
Oh, and doesn't he put the exclamation, Miss Independent?
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Mother
that.
God in heaven. Jeez.
So then it's a stupendous turn. She's like, oh man, this dude got mad and I fucking ruined my underpants about how cool it is.
Oh man, this,
come to my apartment.
This guy just threw a tantrum at me.
Oh, I'm so
I'm
fucking
ready
excited.
To go.
This is what women like. It's borderline violent persistence, childish tantrums,
and abusive power.
Oh, abusive power, of course. Yes. It goes without saying. That means you're an alpha male. Uh-huh. All these things mean you're an alpha male, you know? Yeah.
It means you're not a cuck, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gotta betas.
Stomp your feet and cry about shit.
I was not thinking to stomp your nuts.
No, man, someone should stomp this guy's nuts into fucking outer space.
So with all that, she's horned up as anyone has ever been in the history of humanity, and she's like, why don't you come back to my apartment?
I think it's the ninja that's horny.
Oh,
I think that might be it, right?
This ninja's, more sense. This ninja's ready for some dick?
Yeah. He's never, you know, maybe he hasn't possessed a lady and he wants to try it. You can't blame him.
Or he could be a gay ninja, that's for sure.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, yeah, big gay ninja. I think that was a different canon movie.
You know what? Maybe that scientist was working on the cure for homosexuality, and this fucking ninja's like, that's bullshit. I'm going to cut this pseudoscientist's head off, and I'll take down the whole police department. I don't give a fuck. Gay rights, motherfucker.
I hate conversion therapy.
Oh, man.
Todd Haynes is Ninja 3.
Yeah, I like where this movie is going.
So it's God, like, okay, we cut to Indiana. And there's a secret government lab run by the villainous Mike Pence. He's like, we're going to kill gay people.
virile Mike Pence.
Yeah, exactly. But, oh, what's this? Ninjas descend upon this secret anti-gay base.
Yes. That's what happens, dude. They get under siege by big gay ninjas, and then Mike Pence gets fucking gay conversion therapy electrocuted to death.
I would love that. Wait, no, I wouldn't, legally speaking. But then
I think what you just said was a crime, by the way.
Yeah, no, we're talking about a film, which is art, so it's different than
it's
than
also,
saying
it's
we
also
want
a completely fake movie that doesn't
also,
exist.
All these ninjas that descend upon this base should be all the colors of the rainbow.
Yes!
There's red ninja, pink ninja, orange ninja.
Purple ninja.
Yes!
Absolutely.
It would look really cool.
Somebody make that movie.
Why not? Big gay ninja.
So these two people start having sex.
It is, and we've talked about some disgusting sex scenes in the history of this show.
A number one.
This is
what? No, this is actually kind of nice.
No, it's not.
It's a little interesting.
Well, here's the thing.
George Costanza was more sensual.
I mean, this is like they're like making out and whatnot. She gets out of the shower.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, fuck. Here it comes. Like she's going to drop this towel. And she doesn't go that route. And I was like, okay, cool. And like she puts a shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, we're taking it a little slow here. That's okay.
A little slow.
And then so we start making out, right? And
this bitch is not going to fuck on the first date.
Well, no. They get down on the bed, you know, and we're making out. And I was like, all right, cool. And then you see this lady like reach for something. And you're like, uh-oh. What are we doing? Are we going to Toy Town? Like, what's happening
Toy
here?
Toy Town?
And instead...
Ride the rubber railway, man.
Oh, Chris Cabin, that's filthy.
Welcome back to Serial's new podcast, Toy Town.
And that's when the soul of a ninja brought out the dildo.
No, so then you're like, all right, what's coming back? And I'm waiting for it. I was like, here comes a dildo. And it's like, nope. The exact, I mean, it's not the exact opposite. It's the farthest thing from my mind. It's the farthest thing from my mind, which is a fucking can of V8 juice that she dumps all over her chest.
That's on your SATs. What's the antonym of dildo? It is V8.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
She dumps tomato juice all over her boobs and then like pulls this dude down.
And I mean, like, here's the thing. Here
this
you
is
are.
Like farmers fuck.
Here you are. You're a fucking you're a 5 masquerading as a 7. And by that, I mean, you're a dude whose back is hairier than fucking Marv Albert's. But you have to. But like in a shirt, you look pretty OK.
Oh,
so,
sure.
So you land this perfect 10 and, you know, you're going to town, and then she pours V8 all over herself, and she's like, this is what I'm into. And you're like, oh, man.
Let me go out for a bottle of vodka. I'll be right back.
Bottle of vodka.
I mean, I'll finish this one, but after that.
I mean, no. Yeah, we're just.
But this was, I mean, the biggest bummer of this whole thing was she kind of does a weird, like, Xenia on a top move and, like, pulls this dude down with her legs. And I was like, cool, here we go. Like, let's see what happens. Cut to, like, post-coitus napping.
Well, it rides this weird fucking, like, health craze thing that she keeps on. Like,
right. Yeah.
Well,
she's an aerobics instructor.
Her for coffee.
Yeah.
And she goes on these, like, small tirades, like, coffee's bad for you. I don't like coffee. Right. I won't drink coffee.
Yeah, they're trying to make her a character.
I guess I don't know
if it's successful.
It was not.
I hate coffee. Here, suck tomato juice off my breasts.
If you have sex with a woman that's possessed... If you have sex with a woman possessed by a ninja, is that a threesome?
Yes. Yeah, count it.
Yeah.
Count it!
Hey, Ma, count it!
But that's... Wait, do you think the ninja wanted V8?
That's, dude, nah. You took the question right out of my mouth. Is this the ninja's pref, or is it Christie's?
That's a good question.
That's the real thing.
Yes, because back in his day, he just bathed in it.
Oh, my God. This would be a great twist at the end of the movie. Is like, you know, this cop's trying to figure out what's going on. All his friends are dying. And he's like, he gets a call from some lady. He's like, yeah, I'm looking into Christie's past. I'm like, Christie? He's like, yeah, I'm Christie's boyfriend. She's like, Christie's a lesbian. It's like, dun, dun, dun. I've been having sex with a big gay ninja the whole time.
That would be awesome.
That'd be a great twist.
There's so many things I didn't think of while writing the screenplay to Ninja 3, the Domination.
They thought of a lot of things, though. I will say that. And it's just, it's the most, every step of this movie is such a bizarre choice.
Yes.
That is what makes it an amazing movie, because you don't see anything coming.
I didn't see V8 juice coming. That's for damn sure.
I never saw this movie before last night. Usually I write like 10 pages of notes because I've seen the movie a bunch and I'm just kind of like, oh, that's an interesting observation. My jaw was wide open. I couldn't write anything down. I'm like, what's happening?
Oh, sure.
So she in the post-coital glow, she gets up and her sword comes to life and kind of just dances around.
It just kind of like floats out of this closet and it's cheap. It looks terrible.
Marv,
we should have found a better way to do this.
The wires. Supposed to be taut. It's supposed to be bouncing.
Marv, get that wire out of there. Oh, this looks fucking terrible. What's that? We have to keep it because we have no money. Okay, fine. Fuck it.
It's a canon movie. It's fine.
But it's awesome. It's just this closet with like folding doors that open, and there's like a smoke machine and one lamp that's flickering back and forth, and this little sword floats out, and she's holding it, and this whole thing's happening, and then this dude wakes up, and he's like, Christie?
Christy, what's going is that a floating sword?
Making this dude the worst police detective of all time because it's like, oh, what's that? All your fucking fallen brethren were slaughtered with ninja stars and sword maneuvers?
28 hours ago.
Why is there like no investigation like into the ninja? Like yeah. trying to track down where this guy came from?
But like, that's like, why it needs to be like this dude needs to start thinking like there was no ninja because it's like we found Christy out in the middle of the fucking desert. She claims she was working for the telephone company. Or there's all these sword wounds. Now Christy has a sword.
We do find the body of the ninja. Yes, she's in the morgue.
Oh, right.
Because
right,
what's
right.
his face? What's the other guy's name?
Templeton?
No. Who are you talking about?
The guy who plays the good ninja.
He was Shokushugi.
Shokushugi yeah. shows up, who's been in all of these movies, yes. apparently.
And Pray for Death, previous episode.
Great, another fucking totally great movie, yes. by the way.
He shows up, and like he's met by some very mysterious guys, and they're like...
Who we never see again.
No, oh. and they're like, things are afoot. And I think he was coming back, because he's been tracking this the Olive Ninja.
Right, there was a flashback where... He was, I guess, with the Olive Ninja in his camp, and he's got this eye patch on because the Olive Ninja threw a star into his face,
which
right
is
into his
awesome.
Fucking face.
God, that's a big fuck you. That's how a ninja gives the finger.
Yeah, and then there was like when it happened.
That's what happened to Sammy Davis Jr. Right? I heard that.
Yeah. And Peter Falk too. There's a lot of
oh, no,
ninjas.
I got a ninja star right in the eye.
The Rat Pack era Hollywood, there was a rogue ninja as well.
Oh, that makes sense.
It got caught right in my peeper.
Yeah, Toshiro got a little drunk one night and got me right in
the Look, the Yakuza was after Sinatra. They kept missing. They got Davis Jr. first. Then I get it. Joey Bishop took one on the balls. He won't tell you that, though.
Sinatra man, fucking the Teflon Don, they called him. Nothing ever stuck on him.
Not even ninja stars.
Slip, slide away. He walked between the raindrops. He walked between the ninja stars. That was Sinatra all the way. Class act, always picked up the tab.
Also a huge racist.
I really can't stress that enough. Just all the time. Did not stop.
He thought I was Jewish, kept calling me one of the good ones.
Wouldn't let up on it. What was his deal?
So he's tracking down what happens. He actually steals the Olive Ninja's body from the morgue. Again, like, and everything in this movie is happening nonsensically to the scene before it.
Also nonsensically, there's a thing in this movie that only a ninja can defeat another ninja.
Sure, right.
So, like...
That was news to me.
All the cops, Christy, no one themselves could actually... finally defeat this ninja because I guess all ninjas are magic beings. They're like unicorns.
But why does this Olive Ninja like fall at the beginning of this movie?
I mean,
then?
You get that many bullet
I guess,
holes.
Yeah,
I feel
it's
like.
Just, oh, it's like a Jason Voorhees situation. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And then he's on the... this is fucking Jason Goes to Hell. And he's on the table in the morgue. And then the soul transference to the
you're totally
the morgue
right.
doctor doing the autopsy. But here it's with Christy.
Wait a second, though. Do you then think that the Olive Ninja in reality is a gross worm creature?
Yes, I do.
All right.
That makes perfect sense.
What does Shokushugi do with the body?
He brings it to that temple
for
a later use.
And they actually dress it for later on because when they... try to force the soul out of Christy. They want to put it back into the body.
And right.
So, am I wrong, or is it a beige ninja?
It is kind of. It's kind of a beige ninja.
It is a little. Yeah.
He tan ninja.
So, Billy shows up during Christy's day job, which is fixing telephones for some reason. He's like, hey, I got to break my date. I got to drop off my friend who's this cop that looks like Murray from fucking The Odd Couple.
This guy's just as tired by the sands of time.
And she's, you know, she has that moment.
Right. Yeah, recognizes this dude as one of the people that was shooting the
ninja.
She
assassinates him. We've talked about this is the guy that's playing pool by himself.
He gets thrown out the window, which is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. It's this weird thing where like she's not always possessed by the ninja, only at certain points.
That's what's kind of weird. It's not like a full-on possession.
Yeah.
It's just like this dude's hanging out inside of her.
Well, she experiences missing time.
Right. She also could have been abducted by aliens.
I think this might be also... alien ninja. I don't know.
I mean, it seems pretty clear that they watched The Exorcist and then they watched Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, something like that. And like just mashed them two together.
There's a huge Exorcist thing. What's his name? James Hong.
James Hong is in this movie.
Right,
yeah.
He plays like a monk mystic that they end up trying to do an exorcism on her.
Right, which
and
is
it's
kind
very
of
much just the Exorcist.
So this guy dies, and Christie's got all this stuff. She goes to like a doctor. The doctor says there's nothing wrong with you. You're actually incredibly healthy. and the
wait, what is the line though? Because she's like you're incredibly healthy. Well, first of all, this woman's a terrible actor.
Oh,
she's like, you're incredibly healthy physically. And I talked to the psychologist that you saw. They said that, you're also fine, except for, your obsession with Japanese culture is what this woman says. And she kind of looks
Mommy
like,
"Mommy, put that in the DSM. I don't like it. I get to add, as a president, I get to add one thing in the DSM. And last year I did homosexuality. This year it's obsession with Japanese culture."
But it's just so weird though, because it's like, what are you talking about? Like, she's got that sword, but I don't think she told anybody about it.
No. Well, the weird thing, so she winds up going, her boyfriend is like, "Oh, you know, something's wrong with you. I talked to my cop who is the head of Asiatic Affairs." Which, what does that mean? What is that beat? I don't understand. What is
you're walking around hassling Asian people.
I guess, or you're just in Chinatown or something.
Asiatic affair. It, you know what, Steve? It turns out it's a really stupid line.
No, forget it, Jake.
Forget it, Jake. I'm the head of Asiatic Affairs.
This is after
it's Chinatown. Get out of here. I'm the one that's pushing around all these. I'll tell you later.
This is after she's shot in the head by a laser coming out of this bouncer video game console that's also smoking and possibly haunted.
That is an amazing scene.
It makes no fucking sense.
That's what I love about it.
This movie's pre-Ghostbusters, right?
It's the same year, but I don't know when.
I thought Tron.
I just felt a lot of Ghostbusters, Dana Barrett's apartment going on.
Also
here.
That's
true. Keep going. I'm going to look up release dates on the Tribune, see if there's anything here.
Because, it's her whole apartment goes like wonky. It's very Evil Dead, too. Like the doors are opening and closing.
Well, I have no
idea. Ninja by Dawn. Ninja by Dawn.
Exactly.
There's like all these different, they never like tell you how possessed she is.
No.
Like there's no consistent, like this is four different instances where she seems to be getting possessed.
Yeah.
And it's all like poltergeist.
Or do you think maybe it's like
maybe
when the ninja like threw himself into her body, like only part of like half of him went,
and then a
quarter of him went into the sword, and then a quarter of him went into a fucking video game. He got lost along the way, like when Abe Simpson got into the Love-O-Matic.
Oh, he's now the bouncer. I see. Yeah, I like that.
So Ghostbusters was June 84. Ninja 3, The Domination, September 84.
Oh, all right.
And let me tell you, the rate at which they put these canon movies out, it's totally possible.
It's plausible.
They saw something, sure. So
she also dresses up like the ninja to murder that dirty old cop.
She goes
cop,
to the same
funny.
Cave and finds, you know, Jesus' tunic. Yeah. Well, actually, the question is, how many ninja tunics are in there? That's my question.
Is it like the Power Rangers? Ooh.
Well, you got a backup in case you shit your pants, man. I mean, that's like standard
well,
ninja procedure.
If we're doing the Power Rangers thing, under there is where the spaceship is, right?
Zordoodles.
Zordoodles. Hi, I'm Zordoodles.
Welcome to
I'm Zordon's North Carolinian cousin, Zordoodles. Hey, come on into my spaceship. Let's see what's going on in here. You trying these little outfits? Oh, Zordoodle's been up all night fitting these things for you kids. Come on in here.
Oh, we don't fight nobody. That's just mean. that's just mean.
We just smoke a lot of cigarettes.
We help people out. People who are in a jam, we'll help you out.
Well, if you're in a jam, you need somebody to come in and volunteer at your flea market. We'll be there in 2 seconds. Zordoodle's Power Rangers. Well, get on in here.
Gather up, reindeers.
That's what I call them. Zordon's got rangers. I got little reindeers. Come on in. You be Zordoodle's reindeer.
Oh, yeah, but you're...
This bake sale ain't going to bake itself, guys. Come on.
How else are we going to clean out this church basement? We need Zordoodle's reindeers to help out.
Oh, actually, tonight's not too good for Zordoodle's. I got to host the bingo night for the old folks.
Yes, I did. I stitched all in the, I sewed all the antler warmers myself.
They all have antlers on.
Oh, mercy. This movie, though.
So but basically, she goes winds up going up to James Hong because essentially, you know, the Asiatic cop is like, there's a guy, this is a Japanese guy that can help you out.
And James Hong, you know, he's in, like, mystic garb. They basically do an exorcism thing. She's, like, chained up, and she's flipping all over the place. It looks ridiculous.
There's this great line where he's like, oh, my God, your girlfriend's been possessed by a ninja. And he's like, can you tell me what the hell that is? And I'm like, you don't know what a fucking ninja is?
Well, it's like, possessed or ninja? Like, what don't you understand from what he just said?
I think it's pretty clear you're possessed by a ninja. That's why she's dressed like a ninja.
It's also awesome because this is clearly above James Hong's pay grade. And he's like, could you just get her out of here?
Yes, exactly. It's like, I need to fleece some people. He's kind of a Zelda Rubinstein from Teen Witch.
Oh, yeah. You totally.
Oh, no, child. It appears as if your girlfriend's been possessed by ninjas.
Oh, I don't fuck with ninjas, y'all. I don't deal with it.
Ooh, shit, child. Is that Zelda Rubinstein over there? Zelda, it's me, Zordoodle. Turns out Zelda and Zordoodle did a lot of cocaine in the 1970s. It was a ridiculous time to be alive in North Carolina.
That's a TV show I want. Oh, Zelda, yes, Zelda and Zordoodles. They're going to do adventures.
Oh, I'd love it. Totally. Yeah. Vaguely paranormal adventures.
Right. They have a van. It's like the late 70s.
And they slept together once.
And decided that it wasn't for us, y'all. But we're still friends and we solve mysteries.
And we just save on the rent. We just split it right down the middle. Living in this van.
She's got witches. I got ninjas. This is how we work it out.
This whole exorcism, by the way, I don't want to miss this. This whole exorcism takes place after what I feel is the greatest scene of this movie, where she goes on another cop hunt.
Oh, right. Oh,
this time to this dude who's taking two prostitutes.
Oh, shit.
To
Stan
some sort
Lee
of
wannabe.
Yeah, to some sort of spa.
This is like Serpica era corruption, because this cop is walking out of the police station with a quote unquote babe on each arm in full uniform.
Yeah, those babes which he totally arrested on the street corner an hour ago.
What are we even talking? And also a threesome in the afternoon. My goodness.
48 hours. Hours after 57 of your brethren bit it.
This is way above Zordoodle's pay grade, y'all.
And they love him.
They love him so much.
They get mad.
Well, they quote unquote love him because this dude is promising that they won't go to jail for months.
That's no, but they get true. Jealous.
They get legitimately
because
jealous.
They don't want the deal fucked up.
So she walks into this spa wherever they are, and they're. By the way, on one side of this guy, not only is he having a threesome with two ladies, he's having a fucking threesome with Miller High Life at St. Paul's.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, guaranteed. Also a threesome with all the fucking semen that's left over in that hot tub from the last time.
That's a legit orgy at that point.
Absolutely. And I mean, this whole thing is making your stomach turn just looking at this.
And she comes in and pretends that she makes out with the guy, and these girls are like, oh, let's leave. And then the other girl's like, nah, let's stay.
Let's watch.
Yep.
Oh, I want to watch. That's an actual quote.
Yeah.
One of them.
Why? But here's my thing. What's the difference? What's one more lady in this gross fucking hot tub situation?
If anything, that takes the pressure off of you a little bit.
Exactly right. Like, why are you so upset? You were arrested 45 minutes ago. Now you're here.
Any change in the deal is going to really...
Oh, that's not what
that's
I agree
really
to.
You know what?
Because this is, you know, they're thinking, like, after this is done, the dude's going to be like, no, that doesn't really count, you know, because she did so much of the work, so you got to give me a halfy...
Oh.
Give me a halfy. Give me a halfy tomorrow.
And then he goes and gets his coat hanger out of the...
Wait, what happened?
American Psycho.
Oh, okay. All right. So she has this like poisonous dart thing or whatever.
It's like a ring that she pulls the thing off and there's a needle on it and she turns it around and just sort of like slaps his neck. Yeah.
like poison.
This dude gets poisoned, but then she just awesomely fucking murders these other two women, including strangling this one lady with something.
So they're all dead.
Yeah. So the James Hong thing's just sort of, it kind of doesn't, that's when we first understand what possession is. She does start at this point, she gets like red eyes and like gets like kind of rogue hair a little bit.
Yeah, she goes gray a little bit at the temples. But like this is the real cock up of this movie, because like James Hong needs to be the Zelda Rubinstein character. Like he needs to be more than just a cameo.
Yes.
Like he comes back, he's like, oh, I don't know, I found a scroll and this is the spell that breaks the ninja curse, and who could care, but it's at least something.
You know, the finger thing means the money.
Oh, that finger thing.
The finger thing means the brain, too. Because Jesus, right around it.
So at this point, the two movies meet each other, because basically she's about to... she's at what's-his-face's police station, Billy's police station, and these two guys come up. They're like, oh, hey, you going to the funeral? You know, the funeral for all the cops that died in the last week.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm going to try and make it. I'm like, no, you're not. You're a cop, and 50 cops have died.
But isn't it just for the guy in his underwear?
For Murray, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the one guy. I think that we just kind of glossed over the rest of these.
They got all buried in a mass grave.
Just it was just the sand trap on that golf course.
They would just bury it. But she sees them and has, it's the two last, it's a guy with smoking a cigar and another guy, like, and she remembers them. So she's going to crash the funeral.
Uh-huh. This, all, I mean,
it's the second best scene in the movie.
I was going to say, the hot tub scene, I feel, is the best scene of this movie.
Oh, no, you got a golf course scene first, man.
Well, yeah, you're right. All right, so golf course scene, far away, far and away above everything else. Then you got hot tub scene, but then you got this fucking funeral crashing, and it is amazing.
I'm this is controversial. I say, flip them. I say hot tub last.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Arrow assault. Number two.
She hides in a tree and just starts shooting these dudes with a bow and arrow, and it is awesome.
This is better than anything Arrow the TV show has done.
Yes. She's fucking tearing these dudes a new asshole. It's amazing.
And it's great because, like, all these cops are like, what? They're just so surprised. It's like, we just did this a couple of days ago. Jesus Christ, the ninjas.
Listen, I'll tell you this.
I told you we should have investigated the ninjas. Didn't I tell you?
I will tell you this, okay? Just a few short days ago, I was at a funeral. I was in a cemetery. I was at a fucking funeral. You know what the farthest thing from my mind was? A fucking arrow attack from the sky.
Yes. That would have painted things a little differently.
And good Lord, would it have ever.
And how is the mayor or the governor not here?
The president is making a speech on television. Piggybacking off of last week when those 50 cops were murdered on a golf course. Also, now it turns out a funeral for another one of the heroes.
We are looking into the possible ties to the Soviet Union. These might be Soviet ninjas.
Oh, yeah. Carrie Russell and her husband are fucking freaking out right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a national security matter.
Yeah,
almost,
absolutely.
You know, like there's they're being wiped. Everyone's being wiped out by ninjas. It's a proxy war with the Soviets.
And everybody is so panicked. This is my favorite part of the thing. There is a guy from a trunk handing out batons to his fellow policemen saying, you get a baton, you get a baton, you get a baton, you get a baton.
I love it. It's like, look, I know we're at a funeral, but I brought all these batons just in case a ninja attack happened.
Makes good sense.
And it's like awesome.
It's like a Naked Gun cutaway. What is this doing here?
It is a Zucker Brothers gag. And also, like, we get into this thing where it's a chase scene in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. They're trying to, like, get her.
We are punching gravestones, and they are crumbling like nothing else.
Yeah, dude, it's like a fucking prop from The Undertaker's old sets. And is this the part where she rips a dude off of a motorcycle?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, man. It's all awesome.
And she gets on top of a cop car the second time a ninja's on a cop car. That's two.
All right.
Yep.
In the first massacre, he got on top of a cop car and, like, started stabbing these dudes through the roof.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
As it turns out, that was also awesome.
Yeah. Now, is it her who punches through the roof?
Yes.
To knock the guy out?
No, I think that,
or is that the first
one
guy?
Dude gets stabbed in the head in the first scene, and then that the second guy, the guy who's driving, I think it's punched through the roof and the car crashes into that lake, by the way. We're definitely throwing a car in a lake.
We got that kind of money. We got car into lake money, guaranteed.
We got just enough money for a car in a lake.
So then the other ninja finds her, and they fight in a house for kind of too long, in my opinion.
It takes a little too long. It's Patchy versus the ninja, and they go at it pretty hard, and she's unmasked at this
finally.
Point. And you're all like, well, none of this is shocking.
Okay. And now, so here we go. She escapes. The other ninja kind of takes the fall, and they're like, "We got the ninja. We're gonna question this guy." And then, like, Billy Secord is like, "Hey, man, you got to help my girlfriend." He's like, "I will." And he's like, "Do you want me to help you get out of prison?" He's like, "Nah, I got this." I'm like, "Really? Do you got this?"
Well, he's a fucking ninja.
This guy would be dead by dawn, man. They would string him up.
Dead by dawn.
Ninja by dawn, man.
Ninja by dawn.
Well, but he does break out, though.
He does. Yes. Yeah, he uses poison and stuff.
He
puts them to sleep because he's a good ninja.
He poisons them to death, and then the guy driving is like, "What'd you do?" And he's like, "They are sleeping now."
Dead.
Oh, they're dead.
Well, how'd you escape? Oh, I sent those cops to a farm upstate.
Exactly.
Plenty of room to roam.
Yeah. They got a lot of batons to play with.
Tossing them everywhere.
You didn't kill my friends, did you? No, no, no. They're sleeping.
Oh, that's crazy.
A ninja don't kill. Ninja don't go to sleep.
Somewhere around here, she utters the lines, "Billy, I love you," which I was like, there is no time for this in this movie.
No, yeah, the ninja inside of her is in love with Billy.
Oh, big gay ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Okay. How did I miss
that?
It's
a beautiful story, I'll be honest with you.
It's pretty fantastic.
Because Secord changes too. Oh, that's why it matters.
He softens a bit.
Yes, a bit.
We've all learned something.
He's still, as it turns out, a terrible police officer.
Awful. Just
so
terrible.
We wind up at the temple because the ninja's like, "Hey, man, take her and the sword to the temple.
Take me to the temple."
And that's the thing. Actually, the ninja's about to kill her.
What was that?
That was those talking heads. Take me to the river. Take me to the temple.
All right.
Keep up.
I'll allow it.
She, as the ninja, is about to cut Billy's head off with this sword, but then, like...
God, what a great, cruel twist that would be.
Something inside of her stops herself.
Right.
Again, yeah. Billy, you know, this ninja's in love with Billy, yes. And it's like, I can't kill my boyfriend here.
Yes. The man I love.
I'm an immortal ninja, and now I got a boyfriend, you know? Like,
what I love,
we've all
though,
been there.
Is, so, like, Patchy takes a cop car to the temple, but Christy, possessed by the Olive Ninja, steals the fucking phone company van,
yep,
which is so awesome.
I think that's just her van. I think she bought it.
Does she own the phone company?
No, I don't think she owns. I mean, it's a nice apartment. It's not phone company nice.
Is her name Christy Ma Bell?
No, I just think, you know, just...
It's not phone company nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice and phone company nice. So she winds up at the temple. The idea is that the ninja, as we said, is going to draw her body into the old ninja, which he does really quickly, because I kind of want more Christy versus this guy.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes more practical sense to have two guys who clearly know karate fight each other.
Right, because this woman's clueless. I mean, she can fucking, you know, break dance and whatnot.
Yeah,
but...
not so much with the karate. So he turns into an evil, possessed ninja. And he does, for a little while, kind of walk like a zombie, but that kind of doesn't happen. No.
They get rid of that pretty quickly.
Is some missed opportunities. You could, like, cut this guy's arm off and he keeps coming at you.
Sure.
Like, totally. Shit like that.
He's painted white and he's got red eyes for a little while, which is pretty cool.
They do not exploit the fact that this dude is clearly a zombie.
He's the undead. Undead Ninja. Great movie.
Yes. Oh, totally.
Yes.
I'm sure some Italian made that already.
Yeah, oh, a dozen of them.
It's about a Japanese businessman that goes to Transylvania to set up an electronics factory. Maybe this is getting dicey now that I'm saying this.
I was gonna say, but keep going.
Well, all right. You know, that's also cheap Transylvanian labor. You know?
Exactly.
So I'm being bad both ways. I just want to point that out.
Oh, you're so bad.
Oh my goodness, that's an oldie.
So yes, it's a really cool ninja fight. The monks get possessed.
This is something that clearly makes no sense.
In this movie, I won't hear of it.
Blink and you miss it. I was just like, wait, why are the monks bad now?
It's insane because this zombie monk, or this zombie ninja rather, throws force lightning. It's
yes,
orange force lightning.
That's right.
And it hits
all
these,
a red nothing.
Yeah, it hits. it hits these monks in the head, and then all of a sudden they're just evil. And I was like, how does this zombie have force? You can't. Listen, there's like 10 minutes left of this movie.
Yeah.
You can't just toss in force lightning.
They needed that scene, like the flashback of establishing him as a magical or supernatural.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But also, like, I just, like, there's 2 minutes before you figure out that they're possessed. There's 2 minutes of them, like, shaking like they're shitting themselves.
Yeah.
And why not just have him flash red in his eyes and then they flash red in their eyes and it's over?
Yeah, I don't need fucking force lightning. Thank you very
much. Need this,
but I'll take it, though.
I do need this guy, like, you know, in feudal Japan for, like, 1,000 years ago getting cursed by something.
Right. Like, he's like Baba Yaga. You know, like, he's like a whisper on the wind. He's like a legend. He's like, you know.
A warlock almost?
All of that would be...
Warlock ninja. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what we need.
You're welcome, Eric.
Like, he's a ninja that was, like, excommunicated from the ninja church for practicing witchcraft or something.
Here's the thing. If I put this movie on, it was called Warlock Ninja, I wouldn't be so surprised by most of this movie.
Yeah, totally. True.
This being called Ninja 3, The Domination.
Well, that's,
I'm like,
the biggest question, though. Why is it Ninja 3, The Possession? Because what the fuck is The Domination? What are you talking about?
I mean, he dominates
that fucking golf course.
No. Heteronormative society dominated this
gay
ninja.
Oh, and now he's dominating.
Now,
he's flipping it around.
He has to flip it up.
Yeah, I like where this
thank
is.
Thank you for flipping it up.
By the way, ninjas are like playing golf because it's the less strokes, right? Because he like slices like five guys in one stroke.
He's very economical in that way. I like it.
I'd be a one par, man. That's it's a kill Steve Standing. That's one par.
I'd be one parm sandwich.
So we're fighting on a cliff, and it's
Christy
pretty cool.
And Billy are kind of just hanging out, watching this thing happen,
which is stupid. Just leave. Get in your telephone company van and leave.
It's kind of like the end of November Rain. Like, like for me, the movie ends when they kiss. They kiss, but like this whole fight, like. I'm
it's
like,
just kind of
this
happening.
Is still happening.
She even kind of like, well, let me see if I can finish this, because like the ninja gets distracted and she impales him with his own sword,
which is pretty cool.
Which should also just kill him at that point. Like, let's just
no, but you gotta have the one last scare because it's a Jason movie kind of too,
totally.
You know?
So he spins into the ground again. By the way,
yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. It's his one move.
It is his one move. It's kind of like when you can only do like one fight code in Mortal Kombat.
And all of a sudden he can control the weather. He causes an earthquake. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just we're getting out
right.
there.
Right. Shokushugi like almost falls into a pit and he does like some ninja
this
maneuvering.
This is an amazing movie and it's crazy, but you tone it down a little bit. This is like a Ninja Turtles plot line.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
April gets possessed by a spirit of an evil ninja.
Yep.
Yes.
I want the ending just to be a really dope fucking ninja fight. And it's just like two dudes with two swords. Yeah. And it's over in like
Give
7 minutes.
Give me like a really wide shot of them on a hill, just like fucking no cuts of them just going the fuck at it.
We could totally end it like that great movie Dragon Inn, which is just, it's the same thing. We're on a cliffside. These two dudes are fighting each other with fucking swords. And dude just gets decapitated hardcore. And that's the end of it. You're like, oh, fucking sweet. That's clearly the end of the movie.
Maybe that was what was cut. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
You know, there's a missing head that was cut.
Well, what's pretty cool, at least, though, is that so, like, Shokushugi's trying to, like, climb up the ravine that he falls into. And here's our undead ninja once again. He, like, grabs his leg.
One last scare.
And Shokushugi just takes his sword and jams it into this dude's skull. And
I
now
like
this dude is fucking lights out.
Only a ninja could jam another sword into a ninja's head, I guess.
Yep, that's the rules. And there's like some like, there's like a low like the soul dying noise, I think.
Yeah, it's the ninja death rattle.
That's like the little worm inside.
And then a cat walks by and you're, ow! He's on my side.
Man, a cat just singing like John Goodman.
I would like that cat. I want the sequel to that movie of that cat.
John Goodman cat.
Yes.
But actually, the kind of cool thing that they do is like they show the ninja's body and he just vanishes, which is kind of stupid. But he's left like his sword that he's been fighting with, and like where his head was is just the fucking tinier sword that Shokushuki puts in there.
Yeah,
so it's like a cool little effect.
Yeah, I mean,
no blood though, which I had a big problem.
Is that a tanto? It's the katana, and what's the smaller sword?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Not for
$1 million. Wrong podcast.
It's used for stabbing dudes in the head and suicide.
That's true. So it just ends. We don't know what happens to Christy and what's his name, Jason.
Oh, they break up immediately. Oh, she's like, "Oh my god, I had sex with that guy. Yeah. I was possessed. Look at those fucking shoulders. Jesus Christ.
Oh, is that why my breasts smell like tomato juice?
What the hell was this ninja doing?
Look, every time I wash my sheets, a pile of hair comes out with it.
I found a mustache hair in my teeth. This is disgusting.
What the hell is that ninja doing?
What the fuck happened to my goddamn bouncer arcade tower?
It looks like someone burned it.
Oh, in the middle of this movie, the ninja fucking cuts her radio in half, man.
Oh, that's right.
Her very expensive stereo system.
That was actually one amazing shot when she was working on the telephone pole at the start of the movie, where there's this fucking awesome song playing.
All right.
And then she just turns off the boombox. I had no idea that it was of diegetic
sound. I had the same thought. I was like, that's supposed to be diegetic? All right, that's terrible.
I love the music in this movie.
Oh, man, Body Shop.
Body Shop is a what great song.
What the fuck was that? That was during the aerobics scene? Yeah, in the aerobics lyrics. Like, I meant to look those up and read them, but I forgot. But the lyric, it was insane.
I feel like Canon just produced all these songs, and they exist only in this movie, and that is it.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing.
It's a secret Frank Zappa album.
Listen. No. Listen. Mondo, I know you're listening. You need to fucking put out the goddamn Ninja 3 The Domination soundtrack on vinyl. I will buy it because for Body Shop alone, good lord, is it awesome.
I'm looking at if that happened.
Body Shop.
I know, but Shout Factory put it out on Blu-ray.
Ooh, I like that. So, you know, the last shot of the movie is a Shokushuki walking away. It's kind of like they're just ripping off like shots from Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
All these songs were made by somebody named Dave Powell.
Oh, the genius Dave Powell.
Uh-huh. So
I think that's what he should go by, because he wrote Body Shop.
I think he was a Canon contract.
Oh, God. Gotcha.
Later killed by a ninja.
So that's the end of the movie. Around the horn, who's recommending this one?
Oh, it's a hard recommend. It is jaw-droppingly crazy. It's great. I will definitely. I've only seen this movie once so far, but by the time I die, I'll have seen it 10 times, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I would definitely recommend it. I saw it a few years ago. I'm surprised, like, I didn't see this in the 80s or 90s or even the 00s.
Or today.
But. Like, because there's no way this was ever allowed to be on television.
No.
Which is another reason why it's amazing. You know? Yeah. So definitely big time recommend.
Oh, huge recommend. I mean, I have a hard time saying no to a Canon picture. It's a really difficult thing. There are they're out there.
They have some unwatchable films.
Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
That's up there.
Every Chuck Norris movie.
Most of the Chuck Norris movies are very hard to watch. But this is so bizarre.
This is our second Canon movie of the month, actually, which is odd.
Oh, yeah. Death Wish 3.
Oh,
Death
right.
3, yes, is Man. A Canon
And there you go.
Well.
I mean, listen, you can just, if you put this movie on your TV, right?
And where else did you put it?
Listen, just go with
computer,
me.
iPhone?
Or a phone.
Yeah,
yes.
You know. Or you know, or like David Lynch says, nobody wants to watch a movie on your fucking phone, which is true. Yeah, but you watch this movie however you can, first of all. But Shout Factory Blu-ray, right? You get it nice fucking 1080p high def, right? Mm. You get your nice like home stereo, blare that shit.
And you have to talk like Andrew's talking right now.
Yeah, and you got to pour VA juice on your dick.
Yeah, oh, big time. And then you just get right up close to that TV. And you sniff it in, man, you can fucking get the cocaine off of this film grain, man. And that's what you want in a Canon film. You want to feel the cocaine high while you're watching these movies. And this movie is definitely one of them. And Death Wish 3, definitely just riddled with cocaine. Absolutely.
Your wife comes home, she's like, why is there coke all over the apartment? What was going on?
See, here's the thing.
It's just Canon, honey.
But since it's Canon, I don't think it's cocaine. I think we're talking speed.
Oh.
I think we're talking
crank.
Uppers, downers.
Uppers, downers. Oh, the cheap stuff, man.
A couple of lewds still left kicking around. A couple of quaaludes. You mix that with some uppers.
What's the most dangerous and the cheapest? We want it. Cannon.
That's Ninja 3, The Domination, directed by Sam Furstenberg. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network page. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast.
And as we said before at the top of the show, that this is a Patreon sponsored
Brandon.
Episode. And, you know, you can go there. We do a little sideshow on there called Animation Damnation, in addition to our show The Nexus, where we recap Star Trek episodes, and we have movie commentaries on there. But we wanted to share a little something from Animation Damnation on this episode, did we not, Steve?
We did, and actually it's kind of in fitting. It's martial arts based. It's from our Mortal Kombat episode we did not too long.
Martial arts based indeed.
Yeah,
it's a Mortal Kombat cartoon we talked about. That's the same thing as your ancient martial art.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of command centers in a martial arts.
And I think this clip kind of speaks for itself. So a plane full of Barakas show up,
right?
Who are this now called the Nomad?
I think that's a thing from the booklet. I think his people were nomads, but also because.
I guess Baraka's dead.
Baraka's dead because there's this new dude, Carbrad.
What?
Sonya?
He's part Car, part Baraka.
He's a transformer. No, like Sonya or somebody's like, oh no, it's Carbrack. And
oh,
then
no.
It just cuts to an exact drawing of Baraka. And this thing just goes.
Now he's transforming. Now he's a station wagon.
Oh no, it's Carbrack. He's Baraka's cousin from out of town. He came in to settle
See,
Baraka's
this is what
affairs
I hate
and take
about
care
it.
Of Baraka's wife. Oh, you know, like
oh my just, God. Baraka by the sea.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like I'm just the backup. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not supposed to drive every day to and from Boston. This is ridiculous.
You want me to fix that light with my mechanical hand? Is that what you want?
Lady, I don't give a fuck what you do. Uncle Baraka, I just can't imagine my dad in a fucking freezer, okay? Uncle Baraka, the chicken, get it out of the freezer.
Fuck, I burned the spaghetti sauce. Fuck. You know how much these guns are worth? We could maybe fix up the boat.
I like Baraka by the sea.
He wouldn't be able to throw that tennis ball at the end, though.
Oh,
he
and
just
then
keeps slicing it in half.
No, Kenneth Lonergan starts shit with him on the street and gets his head cut off.
Oh, nice.
He's like, hey, nice parenting, pal.
I just went down to the store to get some beer. And
I was high on cocaine.
I was, you know, I was partying with the boys. And
little
I was walking back.
I didn't. I just. I did not know that Liu Kang would do a fatality to my whole house. He turned into a dragon and fucking set it ablaze.
I was trying to stay warm by a portal to Outworld. Just went out to get some beer and they came back.
Sub-Zero left. He could have stopped the whole thing.
The whole house got sucked into Outworld.
He just puts his blade in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Baraka, I got like two girlfriends.
You know what? You have sex with these girls?
Well, one, but the other one, I'm working on it.
What does that mean?
Oh, you know, like Outworld stuff.
Can you come in and have dinner and just talk with her?
I don't want to talk to Melina.
Oh, nobody wanted to talk to Melina.
So there it is. That's just a small taste of what you can find behind the WHM Patreon paywall. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Next week on the program, what are we doing? What are you talking about?
Oh, we're getting it.
Oh, it's Crichton Town.
It's Crichton Town.
It's steamy. Everybody getting steamy.
Sleazy Crichton, though. This is different from Giant Ape Crichton.
I would rather Giant Ape.
Oh, absolutely. But instead, it's Disclosure. The first film where I heard a line such as you want to get fucked. It happens in Disclosure.
Yes,
quote Michael Douglas.
I do.
co-starring Dennis Miller, of course.
Oh, you better believe it. And some fucking babe. Terrible. It's like virtual reality, is
yeah.
it not?
Oh yeah.
Oh goody. Oh man.
Virtuosity level stuff, man.
Yeah. Oh god. So next week on the program, Michael Douglas in Disclosure. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Chris Gabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.